This is with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Puri just before he left to Calcutta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati cautioned, "All of you take to sincere Hari Bhajan. There are not many more days." This premonitory hint, along with his physical weakness and disquiet, and frequent reference to Govardhan Bhajan, convinced several devotees that he would soon leave the world. Srila Saraswati Thakur made his last journey from Puri to Calcutta on 6 December, despite it being a particularly stinging winter and hence inadvisable for a patient to travel northward. When the time came to depart for the train station, his driver, Sri Pyari Mohan Brahmachari, tooted the car horn to signal that they should leave. Just then, Srila Saraswati Thakur noticed his disciple, Sri Jamunani Patnaik, standing there and stopped to inquire about his welfare. Jadumani Prabhu said to his son, "Now take your last darshan of Srila Saraswati Thakur. I think he will not come here again." The boy performed dandavat to Srila Saraswati Thakur, who noted his clement mien and sensed his internal distress. At Puri station, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was seen off by a group of distinguished people who expressed their admiration for his monumental activities in broadcasting Lord Chaitanya's message throughout India and overseas. En route at Cuttack station, 40 devotees headed by Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu were waiting to greet him. During the overnight journey, Srila Saraswati Thakur distributed Harikatha non-stop to his disciples. At Howrah station, a large gathering of devotees received him and escorted him to the Gaudiya Math amid a Sankirtan procession in a car profusely decked with flowers. In Calcutta, he immediately resumed his incessant Harikatha, delivering a several-hour lecture that very morning, 7th December. On 13th December, Srila Saraswati Thakur emphasized in his speech at the 6th annual separation ceremony of Jagabandhu Bhakti Ranjan Prabhu, quote, "We are all sojourners on the path of death. Everyone must die. Therefore, whether one is male or female, high or low, king or subject, rich or poor, learned or foolish, he can make this exceedingly rare human form of life successful by becoming a servant of the servant of the eternally pure, completely blissful Sri Hari. Even in this conditional existence, one can become liberated. Hence, it is overwhelmingly necessary to try for that. On the morning of 18th December 1936, in his room at Sri Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati spoke at length to Sundarananda Prabhu and a few Western devotees. His cheeks becoming red with excitement as he forcefully condemned false discipleship. It was his last talk before he manifested the lila of being bedridden, never to rise again. Last days. Shortly thereafter, Srila Sarasvati Thakur became afflicted by fever. Kunjabihari Prabhu called in some of the most reputed doctors in the city to treat his Guru Maharaj, who informed each of them of the temporality of the body and the need to perform Hari Seva. And when a doctor wanted to give him an injection, Srila Sarasvati Thakur protested, "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Harina. That's all." Upon receiving news of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's condition, disciples started streaming in from far and near. On December 20th, he rose and startled the also bedridden Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu, whom he had not seen for several days, by visiting him in his room. About 10 days before his disappearance, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati stated that he had much service to perform in Vrindavan, but because of internal quarrels in the mutt, his life was being shortened by 10 years. On December 23rd, 1936, 8 days before leaving this world, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati instructed, in a weak, halting voice, the devotees assembled at his bedside. Those vital and immortal words were to become famous as his last address, expressing the essence of his perennial message, and would be featured in innumerable publications. Sundarananda Prabhu jotted them down. Quote, "I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy, because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion towards the absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so they might turn their face toward the personality of Godhead without any desire for gain, and with unalloyed devotion. Surely someday they will be able to understand that. All of you propagate the message of Rupa Raghunath with supreme enthusiasm. Our ultimate desire is to become dust at the lotus feet of the Rupanugas. All should remain united in following the Ashraya Vigraha. For the sake of serving the Advaya Gyan. Here, Ashraya Vigraha can be understood as either the Guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself, or Sri Radha. All should remain united in following the Ashraya Vigraha. For the sake of serving the Advaya Gyan. In this ephemeral world, you should live somehow or other only for Hari Bhajan. In spite of all dangers, criticisms, and discomforts, do not give up Hari Bhajan. Do not be disappointed that most people in the world do not accept topics of unduplicitous Krishna Seva. Do not forsake your own bhajan of Krishna Katha Shravana Kirtana, which is your all in all. With humility like a straw and forbearance like a tree, you should always perform Hari Kirtan. Let our bodies, which are like those of aged oxen, be offered into the Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. In ancient times, sacrifice was performed by offering aged oxen. The analogy is of offering bodies in the sacrifice of chanting the Lord's holy names. So coming back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's address, let our bodies, which are like those of aged oxen, be offered into the Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. We do not aspire to be any kind of heroes of dharma or karma. Our constitutional position and all in all is to in every birth become dust at Sri Rupa Raghunath's lotus feet. The Bhaktivinoda Dhara will never stop. With all your energy, devote yourself to fulfilling the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are many among you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other wish whatsoever. Our only motto is Adadanas Trinamda Tire. Idamya che puna puna Srimad Rupa Padamboja Duli Syam Janma Janmani. Taking, there's a translation of that verse. Taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I fall down and pray again and again to become dust at Srimad Rupa's lotus feet, birth after birth. Certainly there are multiple inconveniences while we are in this mortal domain, but that there is no need either to be overwhelmed by them or to try to overcome them. Rather, even during the duration of our present life, we must become acquainted with what we shall gain after surpassing all those difficulties, and what shall be the mode of our permanent existence. In this world, we are compelled to make decisions regarding objects that evoke our attraction and revulsion. both those that we want and those we do not want. Attachment and detachment in this damned existence increase according to the degree that we are separated from Sri Krishna's lotus feet. When we are able to transcend the position of attachment and detachment in this world of death and are attracted by the holy name of Godhead, then only can we understand the taste of Krishna Seva Ras. At the present time, Krishna's instructions seem highly startling and perplexing. Knowingly or unknowingly, everyone who is considered a human being is more or less struggling to eliminate those invading elements that baffle our perception of our eternal need. Our only requirement is to enter into the kingdom of our eternal necessity by going beyond dualities. We have no love or hatred toward anyone in this world. All arrangements made herein are but temporary. Therefore, that supreme goal is indispensably necessary for everyone in this world. All of you should work unitedly and harmoniously for the same objective of attaining eligibility for seva to the original Ashraya Vigraha. May the conceptions of the Rupa Nugas flow in the world. Let us never feel the slightest dejection while engaged in the seven-tongued flame of Sankirtan Yajna. The seven-tongued flame refers to the seven characteristics of Sri Krishna Sankirtan. As described in the first verse of Shikshastaka and explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sanmodana Bhasya commentary, the seven tongues are Cheto Darpana Marjana. What does that mean? Cleansing the mirror of the heart. That's one. Two. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapana. Not moving on until we get the answer. Some temples, they recite this every day. All right, Bhava. What does Bhava mean?
Love.
That's Bhava. Bhava.
The material.
Yeah. Okay. And Agni.
Fire.
Fire.
Okay. And Davagni.
Force.
Yeah. And Mahadavagni.
That we know is around here.
Lava.
And Nirvapana. Sort of.
Extinguish?
That's it. That's it. Okay, now we got it. Bhava Mahadavagni Rivapana. Extinguishing the blazing forest fire of material existence. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitarana.
The moon rises.
One receives the benediction of pure devotional service compared to moonshine spreading the white lily of good fortune. He'll be generous. You got Chandrika, so it's good enough. Vidya Vadu Jivana.
All the living entities, Vidya, Vadu means woman, all the living entities.
Vidya
is
knowledge.
Vidya is knowledge. Okay, what's Jivana?
Souls. Living entities.
Life.
So you got it now? You remember? Life of transcendental knowledge. Ananda Buddhi Vardhana
increases the bliss. And
yeah, what's Ambuddhi?
Angry.
Ananda Buddhi Vardhana, expanding the ocean of transcendental bliss. Purnamrita Swadana.
Nectar. Tasting the nectar.
Tasting the full nectar at every step. Sarvatma Stapana.
All pervasive.
The self wholly cleansed of all desires other than for selfless devotional service. Okay.
That's seven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so may the conceptions of the Rupa Nugas flow in this world. Let us never feel the slightest dejection while engaged in the seven-tongued flame of Sankirtan Yajna. Only if we have undaunted and ever-increasing attachment for it. For what? Sankirtan Yajna. Only if we have undaunted and ever-increasing attachment for it shall we achieve all perfection. Under the guidance of the Rupa Nugas, all of you should fearlessly and with utmost energy preach Rupa Raghunath Katha. Now that's the end of his address. As phone calls bombarded the month, and two telegrams per day arrived from London with anxious inquiries about his condition, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati himself remained anxious for the spiritual condition of his disciples. On December 24th, noticing the absence of the sounds of evening kirtan and lecture, he asked why these had been discontinued and immediately had them resumed. On the morning of December 31st, Srila Saraswati Thakur requested Srimad B.R. Sridhar Maharaj to chant Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. But after Sridhar Maharaj started singing, Kunjabihari Prabhu directed that he stop, and the reputed Kirtaniya, Pravadananda Prabhu, take over. Srila Saraswati Thakur then stated that he was not concerned with melodious intonations. In other words, he was interested not in a disciple's melodious voice, but in his devotion. So Sridhar Maharaj recommenced. Now this is a very interesting, not just the event, but the aftermath of it. Prabhadananda Prabhu later became Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. And I visited his temple in Vrindavan. And I think in his bedroom where he himself departed, there was a picture of B.R. Sridhar Maharaj. And because of that last interaction with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he stopped Puri Maharaj from leading the kirtan in favor of Sridhar Maharaj. So Puri Maharaj took it that Sridhar Maharaj should be like his Shiksha Guru. He took it him like his Shiksha Guru. He took it in a very good way, in other words. On the morning of December 31st, Srila Saraswati Thakur requested Srimad B.R. Sridhar Maharaj to chant Sri Rupa Mantri Pada. But after Sridhar Maharaj started singing, Kunja Bihari Prabhu directed that he stop, and the reputed Kirtaniya Prabhananda Prabhu take over. Srila Saraswati Thakur then stated that he was not concerned with melodious intonations. So Sridhar Maharaj recommenced. Srila Saraswati Thakur next asked Naveen Krishna Vidyalankar Prabhu to chant Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's song beginning Tanu Daya Sagara Tarai Te Prani, which is based on the second verse of Shikshastaka and concludes Atisaya Mandanata Bhaga Hamara Nahi Jana Mala Name Anuraga Mora Bhakti Vinoda Chitta Duke Vibora. O Lord, I am extremely unfortunate. My attachment for the holy name has never come about. The heart of Bhakti Vinod is overwhelmed with sadness. Very interesting that Srila Saraswati Thakur chose that song to be sung. Upon hearing these last lines, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati clapped his hand to his forehead as profuse tears of humility decorated his cheeks. Warning of the lamentable plight of being unattracted to the holy name. Naveen Krishna Prabhu stopped singing. That morning, Srila Saraswati Thakur also gave many important instructions for continuing the movement, enjoining his disciples to form a governing body of 10 or 12 members and cooperatively conduct missionary activities under their guidance. And that Kunja Bihari should throughout his life remain as the manager. He ordered that construction of the Natya Mandir be begun at Swananda Sukada Kunj. He asked one disciple, among yourselves, who do you consider most knowledgeable of Siddhanta? The reply was Vasudev Prabhu. Srila Saraswati Thakur affirmed this and stated that Ananta Vasudev Prabhu should continue to preach Rupa Raghunatha Vani. So somewhere it's mentioned that Srila Prabhupada, or Srila Prabhupada was a little aloof from the inmates of the mutt. He would come, but one person he would spend time with was this Vasudev, very learned devotee. He requested that Sundarananda Vidya Vinod Prabhu be directed to complete and publish Vaishnav Manjusa, expressed indebtedness to Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu and thanked him for services rendered, and encouraged Rajeshwari Prasad Prabhu of Patna to remain enthusiastic. He asked that his thanks be conveyed to Sakhi Charan Bhakti Vijay Prabhu for his service to Sridhar Mayapur, and told Srimad Bharati Maharaj, "You are a practical man, so look after the mission. Either in love or rupture, it is good to maintain the same purpose." This statement apparently alludes to Srimad Bharati Maharaj's having separated himself from his guru and godbrothers. Moreover, considering the impending rupture of the Gaudiya Math, those words seem to have been prophetic. That's what I thought. So he said, "You are a practical man, so look after the mission. Either in love or rupture, it is good to maintain the same purpose." Srila Narottam Das Thakur lived by the principle of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath. We too should live according to that principle. Then he delivered his final message. "All of you, present and absent, accept my blessings. Remember that our sole duty and dharma is to propagate service to the Lord and his devotees." Disappearance. The next morning, January 1st, 1937, at just about 5:20, Prabhananda Brahmachari's bedside vigil was completed. He was handing over the fan and oxygen funnel to Krishnananda Brahmachari. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati aroused and whispered, "Who is there?" "It is me, Prabhananda, Prabhupada." Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati uttered, "Oh, Prabhananda Prabhu." Prabhananda then asked, "How are you feeling, Prabhupada?" Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati murmured, "Oh, oh, Krishna, Krishna." Hardly had Prabhananda left the room when he was called back by Krishnananda Prabhu. "Pranava, come quickly. It is over." Thus, after 62 years and 10 months of manifesting unflinching devotion to Sri Sri Radha Krishna in this world, Sri Varshavanavi Daita Das rejoined them in the hour of their Nishant Leela, pre-dawn pastimes of their eternal cycle of daily activities in Vraj. at the hour after their nocturnal sports, when they rest in intertwined embrace, becoming as one body, and hence giving an indication of Lord Gauranga's appearance. As stated in the Gaudiya magazine in the announcement of his departure, quote, "The meaning of entering the Leela at this hour is clearly understood by those intimate with him, for it is directly experienced in their hearts, and only a hint can be given here. At the end of the night, Radha and Krishna are locked in a tight embrace. Gada lingana nirbedam uptau. Their firm embrace is broken." Sanat Kumar Samhita 198. Jayadev Goswami indicated this situation by the word naktam, night, in the first verse of his Gita Govinda, which begins, "Meghair meduram ambaram," thick clouds in the sky. When Radha and Krishna unite in this way, they assume their combined form of Gaurasundar. Very esoteric considerations. It was 5:30. All the clocks in the month stopped simultaneously, their steady ticking soon replaced by wailing and crying from every corner. Some devotees were sobbing as if their hearts would break. Some were chanting feverishly with eyes flooded with tears. Some swooned. Some simply bowed their heads and chanted Harinam. And some were clapping their foreheads and repeatedly calling out, "O Prabhupada, O Prabhupada." Although the sun had just risen, to the disciples present, everything seemed black. Kunja Bihari Prabhu, ever pragmatic, organized the bereaved devotees in performing the required rituals according to the Samskar Dipika. First, they washed their departed Gurudev's divine form with sandalwood water, then applied tilak on the 12 appropriate parts of his body, draped him in new clothes, and decorated him with flowers, garlands, and sandalwood pulp. They laid him on a new bed and brought him for a last darshan of the deities he had served for so many years. After circumambulating him, his disciples, several of them crying incessantly, offered him puja, bhoga, and arati. Amid continuous kirtan of the Maha Mantra, and Yeya Nilo Premadana, Narottam Das's most famous song of separation from departed Vaishnavas. The news spread quickly. When Srila Saraswati Thakur's divine figure was taken before the deities at 10 o'clock, a huge crowd was waiting for final darshan. Then the bedstead with his spiritual body strapped to it was carried from Bagh Bazar to Shelda Station on the shoulders of disciples, accompanied by massive Sankirtan. The route was less than 2 miles, but since it was through perennially busy streets and packed with the mourning public, It took over an hour to traverse. From Shauda, almost 200 devotees left toward Mayapur by a chartered train. At Ranagat, they halted briefly for local people to offer their last respects, and then proceeded to Krishna Nagar, where again a sizable gathering, including leading city officials, was waiting to pay homage to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Early the next morning, Srila Saraswati Thakur's transcendental body was bathed with Ganga water. And it describes how, you know, what happened with his body in Mayapur. News of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's departure was broadcast on all India radio, and an official day of mourning was observed in Bengal. In Calcutta and other places, many eminent people gathered to eulogize Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati at memorial functions. The Corporation of Calcutta held a special meeting on 13th January 1937 in tribute to the memory of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and issued a resolution expressing its members' deep sorrow. The mayor, Sri Hari Shankar Pal, addressed the councillors. Quote, "I rise to condole the passing away of His Divine Grace Paramahansa Sri Madhbhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the President Acharya of the Gaudiya Math of Calcutta, and the great leader of the Gaudiya movement throughout the world. This melancholy event happened on the first day of this new year. Born in 1874, he dedicated his whole life to religious pursuits and dissemination of the cultural wealth of this great and ancient land of ours. An intellectual giant, he elicited the admiration of all for his unique scholarship, high and varied attainments, original thinking, and wonderful exposition of many difficult branches of knowledge. With invaluable contributions, he enriched many journals. He was the author of some devotional literature of repute. He was one of the most powerful and brightest exponents of the cult of Vaishnavism. His utterances and writings displaying a deep study of comparative philosophy and theology. Catholicity, what is Catholicity? Variety, breadth, embracing. Catholicity of his views, soundness of his teachings, and above all, his dynamic personality and the irresistible force of the pure and simple life had attracted thousands of followers of his message of love and service to the Absolute as propagated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya." Quite amazing that the mayor said this. "He was the founder and guiding spirit of the Sri Chaitanya Math at Sri Mayapur, Nadia, and the Gaudiya Math of Calcutta. The Gaudiya movement, to which his contribution is no small one, has received a setback at the passing away of such a great soul. His departure has created a void in the spiritual horizon of India. which is difficult to be filled up. His divine grace, so that was the end of the mayors. Appreciation. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada later summarized the divine passing of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Quote, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came in this world to execute the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he executed it. And then when it was required, he left this place and went to another place to do the same business. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
Would anyone like to add anything? Any thoughts or reflections or remembrances?
Not really adding, but just I always think of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as being very very strict, learned, and yet at the same time he was seen so liberal in his preaching, where he even said, give them beatings, you know, just to bring people to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
I had a class, I think we both listened to that class by Janani Vasprabhu, where he spoke about this. It was a few years ago, but he said, give them meat, give them alcohol, give them cigarettes, just to bring them. And to apply that in our world today, it seems hard to understand.
It seems like
hard to understand. I mean, the principle, of course, we understand, but I don't think we could do that now.
I think the beating thing was because you were building a temple, right? And you were wasting time rolling, so he was like prepared to roll them
Sound
system at the temple building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to bring Western, high ranking Western officials, so he said, give them meat if you have to. Which is quite
out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's mentioned in that book, but I was hearing one pastor yesterday where, and I just heard it once, so I hope I get everything right, but there was one brahmachari who hadn't seen his mother in like 35 years, so he wanted to go and see her, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati forbade him. He said, no, I'm agreed not to go, and he was thinking, it's 35 years, I just want to see her once, and he said no. And then, so he ordered him not to, so he stayed in the mat, and he didn't go and see her. And then, sometime later, the doctor said he had maybe 10 days to live, and so he told the disciple, go and see your mother now. He says, no, I don't want to see her. I want to leave my body in the holy dhamma. And he said, no, I ordered you to go and see your mother. And by force, one of the other brahmacharis put him on the train to see his mother. And on the way there, he left his body in the train. And that other brahmachari that was with him, he said, Gurudev, I accept all the instructions you've given. I don't understand why you did this. Why, after he wanted to see his mother when he was healthy, you didn't let him go. And then when he was going to leave his body, then you forced me to put him on the train and go and see his mother. He said, if he went to see his mother when he was well, he would have discussed about, you know, the property and what this uncle did and what that uncle did, and he would have come back here and just been remembering his mother. But now he wanted to leave his body in Navadvipdham, and he was going to see her. So where do you think his consciousness was when he left his body? That's why I sent him. I don't know, is that in that book?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I never heard that one before. Amazing. Ever?
Yeah. I mean, when I first joined in Boston, Srila Prabhupada asked us to write something about his Guru Maharaj. In fact, we didn't know anything about Vyasa Puja. And by Srila Prabhupada having us write something for his Guru Maharaj, we got the idea that that's what you do on the Guru's appearance day. And the only thing I could think of, well, two things. One was feeling very indebted to him for sending Srila Prabhupada to us. And then thinking of what a great person he must have been for our Srila Prabhupada to have surrendered to him. Mm-hmm. Those are my thoughts as I was like a new devotee.
Yeah, and behind just giving the order for him to preach, you would be here.
Yeah.
Just that is, I mean, yeah, it's amazing actually. That's where that started from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And last night when we were at that program in Ojai, I was thinking, wow, how far this has come, you know,
mm-hmm.
through, from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, well, even before, of course, but, you know, this little town in Southern California.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah, you can go anywhere and find devotees nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... And from that one instruction to go to the West and preach, like all
preach.
This, you know. And that he took it to heart and did it, you know.
Yeah.
Even though it took him so long to come, but
yeah.
He did it. Yeah.
And also Srila Prabhupada was the only one who could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Bon Maharaj tried, a few different people tried.
Yeah.
Really.
And very interesting, the relationship between our Srila Prabhupada and that Prabhupada didn't go to the temple and surrender and become a
brahmachari.
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, he was a householder, and that was, you know, then he had that experience. Then he came to the Western world. And so perfect.
He wanted him to stay up, right? Didn't they offer Prabhupada?
Yeah,
the devotees,
yeah.
And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, you know, something like, you know, leave them alone.
Yeah.
When the time comes, he will do.
He was in preparation.
Huh?
He was in preparation. Yeah.
It's not on the same level, but at one stage George Harrison asked Srila Prabhupada about shading up and moving to the temple. Srila Prabhupada said, no, you remain as a beetle and write songs about Krishna.
You can do more.
Wasn't it also true that Peter Burwash was also told by Srila Prabhupada, just continue what you're doing. Yeah. Instead of giving that all up and joining the temple. To what you were reading and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur when he left his body and it referenced the Leela, the time of day and the Leela, eternal Leela, Krishna. Can you talk about the time that Srila Prabhupada left? And, you know, I just was kind of curious when after you read that.
How Srila Prabhupada left at 7:25 p.m.
Yeah.
And well, the you know, the divine couple have their eightfold daily pastimes, so something was going on then. I don't know exactly what. We could look it up if you want. Yeah, there's that nice story from the Pujari at, oh, there are a few, but at Champahati, that he was there when Srimati Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving, you know, one of his last, not very last, but maybe 1933, to like a huge assembly of devotees who had gathered for Navadvip Parikrama. And he was saying how, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was saying how, you know, it was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his mother, Bhagavati Devi, means Bhaktisiddhanta's mother, that this mission should be spread throughout the world. And how he had, you know, had given the lifeblood of the Gaudiya Mathapa finances, sent some disciples to England to do something, but they couldn't do much. And up until then, in his talk, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had been looking mainly at the you know, sannyasis who were like at the front of the audience. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta turned his glance to the side, and this pujari from Champahati said he saw right behind him was Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's eyes and Srila Prabhupada's eyes locked. And you know, looking at him, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, you know, it is my prediction that one devotee will go and to the West, and he will like bring the whole world, something like that. And then after looking at Prabhupada and their eyes locking and him saying that, then he went back kind of looking straight ahead and continued his talk. And then the others, another story was, when the pujari from Shantipur came to Mayapur, and he said that that Srila Prabhupada used to come there and chant and weep, and he would tell the pujari that my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible instruction. I don't know how I can ever do this. And he would come very often and chant. And then the Pujari didn't see him for many years. And then suddenly, Western devotees started coming there. And I guess one of them gave him a Back to Godhead magazine, and he saw Srila Prabhupada's picture. He said, "Oh, this is the same person. He did it. He actually did it." So then he came to Mayapur. By then it was after Prabhupada had left. Came to Mayapur with the Back to Godhead and told the story of how Srila Prabhupada used to come there before he went to America. A lot of prayer and surrender and chanting.
The other interesting thing was when you were reading was that he was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was such a like a revered saint almost in Bengal.
Yeah.
You know, but I had always thought that he wasn't so popular. Maybe in Vrindavan when I heard that they were throwing rocks and closing the shops and I guess they were in Vrajmandir Parikrama, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was very low now, it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean the pictures, the crowds, huge crowds. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, there were 64 temples all over India at that time.
Yeah. So your Guru Maharaj gave a nice talk on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day in Mayapur, I think last year.
He'll be there too. He might have just arrived also today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's doing the yatra.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he said, same thing, 64 months. He said 63 in India and one abroad.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the one abroad was London? I could hear it again, but yeah, it said 64, 63 in India, one abroad.
Mm.